Jesus. Yes. Out to Jesus.
Yes.
Have you given Jesus everything?
Yes.
Have you made him Lord of your life?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. When circumstances knock at your door,
yes.
When the enemy comes knocking at your door, do you tell him you need to go somewhere else? I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
I'm not going to let you in because I belong to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When temptation comes, just say, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I don't belong to my flesh. I don't belong to the thoughts that come to my mind. It's not of Christ. But I belong to Jesus. I don't belong to my weaknesses, but I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
I don't belong to what people say about me. I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
It's not about what the enemy comes to do, but I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
And my Bible says he what? He whooped the devil.
Yes. Yes,
he made a show of him openly.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. We all been down that part of the road. And the Father came running with a ring and a rope.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That ring signifies that now I belong to somebody else.
That's right.
And that rope signifies that now I'm royalty.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mm. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We're His now. Mm. Thank you, Lord. He's everything. He is everything.
Yes.
Jesus is everything. He's everything. Thank you, Jesus. He's our Abba Father. It's like saying he's daddy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's daddy. Yeah, he's daddy. He is daddy. Amen. He's daddy. And we belong to our daddy. We belong to our daddy. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, just have your way in the word today. We just yield ourselves to you and we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Do what you want to do, God, and do it whatever way you want to do it. You speak, I will listen, and I will say what you say. I will do what you do.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Mary had a wonderful message on last Sunday.
Yeah.
Dan had a wonderful message on Sunday he preached. Amen. I had a two weeks off from preaching. But I mean, the kids still needed me, my attention. So thank God for that. We're going to go to the Word of God. I still want to stay on the hearts for right now. I want to keep talking about the heart. I think last time I spoke about the heart, we talked about, you know, our spirits, the difference between our spirit and our soul, and the fact that our spirit and our soul made up our heart. Our heart is part of our hearts and our spirit. Well, and then we're all of our spirit. And then part of our heart is our soul. And our desire is to have a healed heart. That our spirits can what? Can flow the life of God through.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not know that the life of God in our spirits, in our born-again spirit, has to come through our heart in order to be manifested in our body and all the other parts of us?
Yeah.
So our hearts are very important. What goes on in our hearts is very important. When I got saved and I got born again, I was born again, but my heart needed a lot of healing.
Praise God.
There was a lot of things going on in my heart that Holy Spirit wanted to heal and Holy Spirit needed to heal.
Yeah.
And there were things in my heart that needed healing. I didn't realize they were there. One thing about God is God won't put too much on us at one time.
Amen.
It's like a process.
Mm-hmm.
He'll confront us with one thing and we allow him to get that straight. And then God looks a little bit further and he'll do something else to get it straight. Yeah. It's a process.
Yeah.
Nobody got all the way to where they're supposed to be in the Lord at one time.
That's
nobody.
Right.
Walking in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a process. So don't get frustrated with yourself if you're not where you think you ought to be. You're in a process. You're in a process. God is still working with you. God is still dealing with you. God is still trying to get us what? Into the likeness of his son in our heart, in our mind, our will, our emotions, our actions.
Mm-hmm.
Even though our heart is born again, it's perfect. But someone said something that's so true. Our mind is the gate to our hearts.
Yeah.
Our mind can either close off our heart or our mind can open up our heart so that God can deal with it and work with it. So God cares about our hearts because he loves us. He loves dealing with our hearts. He loves us when our whole heart is toward him and submitted to him. So God is all about getting our heart to where it should be so that we can be the new creations in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in what we think, not just in what we believe, but in reality. I was ministering to a young, she's not a young lady, she's in her 60s. I was ministering to a lady on last week, I think it was Friday. And she was frustrated because she had this physical issue that she had been praying and asking God to heal, and she hadn't seen the manifestation of it. So she was frustrated about that. And she began to tell me, when I believe the word of God, I confess the word, I know I'm healed. She told me all that stuff she know and all of that. And when she finished, I said, well, that's all well and good, but what you know up here in your head is one thing, and what you know in your heart
mm-hmm.
is another.
Yeah.
And our thinking and our believing has to line up with what's in our heart. And someone said something one time, I think it was Jacqueline. She said that our sub, everything all right, sweetie?
Yeah.
Okay. She said our subconscious is that part of our heart that knows something our mind doesn't know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Your heart knows something your mind doesn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes we think we know something because we can quote it. We can we memorize it. We say it over and over again. But the thing is, what does your heart know?
Yeah.
What does your heart know? Let's look at Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. This is Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted.
Heal the brokenhearted, which is everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Yes.
To preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind. He said that liberty them that are bruised. Do you not know that every part of what Jesus came to do in the heal the brokenhearted, the captive being delivered, that's a heart problem.
Mm-hmm.
The recovering of sight to the blind, that's a heart problem. Instead of liberty them that are bruised, that's a heart problem. All of what Jesus said dealt with a person's heart. So he came to heal the brokenhearted. Dan just said we all had a broken heart, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
All of our hearts were broken before we came to the Lord. So what is a broken heart? Any place in our heart that for whatever reason is not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus is also whatever part of our heart that does not know the love of God for whatever reason. I found out after I got born again, there was parts of my heart that was not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus.
Yeah.
They were submitted to the Lordship of Ernest too. So I did, in certain cases, what I wanted to do. Because my heart was that way, and it wasn't submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Then I found out I had to submit to the Lordship of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then there were parts of my heart where I did not believe the love of God. I did not believe the love of God because I did not believe my mother loved me. She's deceased now. I did not believe my husband loved me. He's deceased now. I had a problem with believing that people loved me.
Yeah.
That part of my heart was wounded. Because I would not allow the love of God to go there because I didn't trust people's love. I didn't trust people loving me. And one day God healed my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
He healed my heart with the word of God. In 1 John, when it says, we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God has for us.
Yes.
We not only know it, but we believed it.
Yes.
I know it and I believe it. And so the Lord began to work on me and say, okay, Ernestine, you got to know and believe that I love you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
You can't just quote scripture and say, I believe God loved me. You got to know it.
Yes.
You got to have it on the inside. Your heart has to be open to my love.
Yes.
And then the Lord began to talk to me. And at that time, my mother was passed away. My husband was passed away. And he began to talk to me. He began to say that your mother loved you.
Yes.
The best way she knew how to love you. Your husband loved you the best way he knew how to love you. And the Bible tells us what? We don't know anybody's heart.
No.
Don't try to judge somebody else's heart.
Amen.
You don't know what's in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see a little later that God's going to search the heart. I don't know your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I should not try to pretend like I know what's going on inside of you and I don't.
Amen.
Truly. The only time we know what's inside somebody, if the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, it's called the word of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But what we ought to do, Corinthians says we ought to know each other by the Spirit.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I can know you by the Spirit if you're born again. Because why? Because I know in the Spirit you have what you need.
Yes.
In the Spirit you have love.
Yes.
In the Spirit you have the fruit of the Spirit. You have faithfulness and joy and love and peace and justice. You might not be acting that way. But in your spirit, man, you have it. So I'm supposed to see you in the Spirit. And if I see you in the Spirit, what am I going to do? I'm going to give you grace. Like grace has been given to me. I'll give you grace because grace has been given to me. So I'm supposed to give grace to you. Let's look at some things about the heart. In the New Testament, the heart represents the sphere of God's influence in the human life. It's in our heart where we feel for God. God influences us through our heart. It's in our heart where we receive the influence of God. God deals with us. He works with us in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
In our hearts. Let's look at Romans 121. And that's saved and unsaved. God deal with man in the heart. Romans 120 says this: for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Where does God enlighten us? Where do he lets us know that he's real, that he's God in our hearts? God even deals with an unsaved person in their heart, trying to get them to come to him. The Holy Spirit would try to draw them to the truth, to draw them to God. It's in our hearts that the light of his knowledge, God's knowledge, the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. It's in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the knowledge of God shines in our hearts and gives us the light of Jesus Christ in our hearts. In our hearts. It's in our heart that faith springs up, dwells, and works. Let's look at Acts 15:8. Acts 15:8. So God, who knows the heart. Now, who knows the heart?
God
knows the heart. Do I know the heart? No, I don't. I don't even know all about my heart. As I told you, I had stuff in my heart I didn't know was there. So I don't even know. We don't even know our own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we allow God to reveal our hearts to us.
Yes.
So God knows the heart. Acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us. This is talking about when Peter went and preached the gospel to the Gentiles, and the Jews were not supposed to have any dealing with Gentiles. There are people out there today, they don't have dealing with certain people. They think they're better than other people. Well, the Jews didn't have no dealing with Gentiles. But then Peter had the vision where he had all these animals coming down that Jews weren't supposed to eat. But Jesus said, Peter, slay and eat. He did that several times. And then Peter said, Lord, no unclean things come to my mouth. But he was showing Peter that God knows the heart. And made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So it's faith that what? Purifies our heart. Faith in the word of God, faith in God, faith in knowledge of God purifies our hearts. So what God has purified, he was telling Peter, don't say something's not pure that I've purified. Don't say something's not right that I've said is right. We're quick to say, well, you know, they ain't born again. They don't have this. They don't have that. They ain't acting right. You know, this, that, and the other. But it says here, he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Give people time to grow in grace.
Amen.
Yes. Give them time to grow in grace.
Yes.
Don't be so quick to judge somebody else. Matter of fact, don't be so quick to judge yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes we're our worst own critic.
Yes.
We judge ourselves. Yeah. You know, God, I ain't done this. I ain't done that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And God's probably back saying, okay, what did I say? I purified your heart by faith. So now you walk in what grace you do know.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in what you do know.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you don't know, leave that to me by bringing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your heart to me. Let me deal with that heart. Let me work out in that heart what needs to be worked out.
Yes.
You know something? We can't change anybody's heart.
No.
You can try your best to change somebody. It will never work. It will never work. We cannot change one another. I don't care how much we fuss. I don't care how much you pray. Your prayers don't change if God don't change. You know, so when you pray, you should pray and believe God to change the heart.
Yeah.
Not think that it's going to change because of your much praying. You know, God changed the heart. He changed other people's heart. He changed our heart.
Yeah.
We have to allow him to change our hearts. And we have to allow him to change other people's hearts also.
Yes.
It is so sad when we live our life trying to change somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Women marry men thinking that when they marry them, they're going to change them.
Yeah.
Men marry women thinking when they marry them, they're going to change them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It doesn't work.
No.
It does not work. God is the only one can change your heart.
Amen.
Miles Monroe said this. He died in a plane crash. But he said, I don't care how many political laws you make. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much political stuff you do. Mm-hmm. He said, there's no politics.
Nope.
There's no law.
Nope.
That's right.
That's going to change people.
That's nope. Right.
The only thing that changes people is God by changing the heart.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get so wrapped up in all this stuff, trying to change something that only God can change. We do all this stuff, trying to change ourselves. But if I do this, and if I do that, instead of saying, God, here am I, you know, I know I'm not where I should be, and my heart needs to be changed. So, Lord, I'm submitting my heart to you. Will you please come and change my heart?
Yeah.
Because once my heart's changed, I can submit to your will.
Mm-hmm.
Once my heart is changed, I can do what you said I can do.
Yes, Lord.
But the problem's on the inside is in my heart.
Yeah.
And my heart needs to be changed. I remember Dad talking about the Baptist church. I remember coming up as a Christian in the Baptist church. And I didn't know my heart had become hard. You know, you can have a hard heart.
Yeah.
A hard heart is when you believe something religious that's not the word of God.
Oh, wow.
You believe in ritual. You believe in religion. You believe in rules and regulations. Instead of believing in the word of God and submitting to him.
Yeah.
And I had a hard heart. I did not know the true nature of God. I thought he was this hard taskmaster. And every time I make a mistake, he was ready to come, you know, punish me. He was ready to come and punish me. That's what I thought. And so I had to get rid of that hard heart. And the way I got rid of the hard heart was, I submitted myself to the word of God. I submitted myself to the truth. And I remember going over Andrew's teaching about the true nature of God. I would just play it over and over again. And there were parts on the inside of me would say, that's not true, because that's not what the pastor so-and-so said. But God said it.
Yes.
And so when God said it, that was true.
That's right.
It didn't matter what it didn't matter what the pastor so-and-so said or who said. If it was contrary to the word of God, it was not true.
Amen.
It was not true. So my heart had to get renewed with the truth. There's a scripture that says, be ye transformed by renewing of your mind.
Yes.
That word transformed means metamorphosis.
Yeah.
When a metamorphosis occurs, something new that's never been before happens. So my heart had to go through a metamorphosis. Not my spirit. My spirit was all okay. But that part of me in my soul heart, had to go through a metamorphosis. And by renewing my mind with the word of God, that caused my heart to be transformed. The scripture doesn't say what part is being transformed. It says, be transformed by renewing of your mind. So what part of us is transformed? Our heart, that soul.
Yeah.
That soul is being transformed. That soul is going through a metamorphosis. So it's in our heart where the light of the knowledge of the Lord God shines in the face of Jesus. And it's in our heart where faith springs up, wells and works.
Mm-hmm.
And faith purifies our heart. Romans 10:9 says this. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yeah.
Believe in your heart. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We put a lot of emphasis, we started with a lot of emphasis on confession. And that's okay. We need to confess the word of God. But Jesus talked about what? Believe in your heart. Well, it's with the heart one believes unto righteousness.
Amen.
And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you have to believe in your heart.
How?
In Mark it says, if we say to the mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and what? Don't doubt in your heart.
Yes.
Don't doubt in your heart.
Yes.
A lot of times things we wanted to come to pass and we're saying it, but there's doubt in our heart. And we don't realize we have doubt in our heart. We can confess it all day long, but if our heart is doubting,
yes,
it won't happen. I remember wanting my back to be healed. I had back problems on my right side here, the back.
Yes.
And I had surgery, but it didn't get rid of the problem. That was what I knew about. I believed in healing, but I know what I know now. And I still had problems. I went back to work after the surgery, but I had to sit down. I couldn't stand up and do like I do it now because of the back problem.
Wow.
And I went to church that Sunday. This is why when he carries everything. And I remember going down the stairs in my house I lived in that time. My husband was already healed. He had MS, he had high blood pressure. He had some other things wrong with him. Had a heart problem to begin with time. And so I remember going down the steps, and I had to go to church that day. I had a recital of a service. And I went down my steps and I said, Lord, I said, and people were telling me before I had the surgery, they said, once you get a back problem, you're always going to have a back problem. You have to be on disability because it's always a back problem. But I never received that. I never received it. And I remember going down the steps, and I said, Lord, my husband's already sick. I said, I don't need to be sick too. I said, I don't want to be on disability. I want to work and retire. That's what I want to do. I don't want to be on disability. I went to church that day, and somewhere my sister was singing a song in the choir. I don't remember what song she sung, but I was standing there, and I remember the power of God coming on me. And the power of God came on my body, and I knew I was healed.
Praise God.
I knew I was healed. I could not run before my healing manifest, but I ran all the way down to the end of the church door and all the way back.
Yes, yes.
And since my husband was ill, he couldn't do the stuff around the house. And so I had to do it. That next week, you know what I did? I got my grandboys, we cut down limbs, pulled them to the road.
Mm.
Back problem was gone this side. Mm-hmm. Then someone told me, said that when you have one side done, it's going to be a year later, other side will give out.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, though, a year later, my husband had passed away the following year, and he had passed away. I was getting ready to go to Karis. Now, I heard about Karis, Papa Collins being along with Karis. And my brother was over there helping me cut grass. And I went outside and helped him in the yard, and all of a sudden, this back on this side gave out. I mean, I could hardly make it. I had a cane. I didn't go to church that Sunday because I couldn't. I had a cane. And it got better, but it still would hurt. And my son said, Mama, you're not going to be able to go to school now. I said, I'm going to school. I said, I'm going to school. And I started carrying. It got better. My back got better, but it hurt. When I sit down, it hurt. I would stretch it out, you know, trying to get some ease, but it would hurt. It would hurt. And I'm going somewhere with this. I wanted y'all to see this correlation between the heart and believing. And in school, different ones would come. They have a healing ministry. And they would pray for me. And I would get some relief. But then it would come right back. Mm-hmm. Like the pain would go and come right back. And it kept doing that. And I wanted my back healed. I wanted to heal. And so I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do I need to do? And the Lord led me to get a book. But I already had the book. E.W. Kenyon, Christ the Healer. I had to read that book. And I don't mean read a book and just go through it. I mean, I took the book. When I got to a scripture, I got my Bible. I looked up that scripture. I meditated on that scripture. I took healing scriptures on a cassette tape at that time. I didn't have CD, then it was cassette tapes. Now I got CD, now I got out, get the different thing. But I'll put the cassette tape in beside my bed and listen to it.
Yeah.
I did it over and over again. I don't know how it was much doing that. What was I doing? You know, I thought I was believing. I was in Karis. I was learning about his stripes of healing. But my heart didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I said it with my mouth, but my heart didn't believe it.
Yeah.
So I was what? I was renewing my mind and transforming my heart with the word of God.
Yeah.
And one day, I had finished the book. I got off the bed, and like I usually do when I get off the bed, and put my foot on the floor. That pain was shooting. And the pain shot up just like it normally do. But I stood there, and I said, pain go.
Good.
I'm healed in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And the pain went.
Praise God.
I've been healed ever since.
Thank you, Lord.
I've been healed ever since. But what did I have to do? I had to transform my heart.
Didn't need surgery.
That side didn't need surgery. Never had surgery on this side.
Surgery didn't do no good, no what?
He sure didn't. God healed me. Surgery gave me some relief, but it didn't heal me. It was God that brought the healing. You know, so God healed me just by simple faith on this side where I was.
Yes, it did.
But it didn't work on this side because I had to transform my heart by the word of God.
Yes.
I had to transform my heart by the word of God. And I think about Jesus. Jesus healed many people from different things.
Yes.
He healed many people from different things. But he didn't heal them all the same way.
Amen.
It was different.
Yes, it was.
I got healed on both sides, but my healing was different. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same way. So don't put God in a box and think that he might heal somebody's heart one way and heal yours another.
Yes, he will.
That's right.
But we have to trust him.
Trust
that what he's doing is for our good because it is. Trust that God knows more than what we do because he does.
Yes, he does.
It's unbelief in our heart that draws us away from belief in God. Mm-hmm. Unbelief in our heart would draw us away from believing God. It would draw us away from believing the word of God.
Yeah.
Somebody else's unbelief, if you allow it to, will draw your heart away.
Yes.
It will draw your heart away. So you got to, we're going to talk later about, not today, but later on about, you got to guard your heart from unbelief.
Yeah.
You gotta guard your heart. Don't fill your heart with all that junk. My parents got older and I saw them changing. They lived in the country and we weren't used to in the country about locking your doors, but locking the night. You didn't lock them during the day. If somebody come, they wouldn't knock and you let them in, but you can have all your doors and stuff locked during the day.
Amen.
Then all of a sudden, they started locking everything. You know?
Yeah.
I go to the house, the screen door was locked, the room was locked, they were locked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, Mama, Daddy, why y'all locking everything? But you know what had happened? They had watched so much unbelief, so much stuff on the news, that they had become more fearful.
Yeah.
Fearful and unbelieving.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be fearful and unbelieving. Because fear and unbelief go together. If you start fearing, you're going to start not believing.
Yeah.
You're going to start not believing. So don't allow all that stuff in your heart. I watch the news. I don't watch the news every day. I watch it sometimes. My children say, Mama, you ain't going to know nothing going on. You're going to never watch nothing. But, you know, I watch it sometimes. But I don't sit there and watch the news every day.
That's right.
I don't watch it every day. So you can't let all the unbelief come in. Hebrews 3:12 says this. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you the evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, Father, this call today.
Yes.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin hardens our heart. Just like unbelief hardens our heart, sin hardens our heart. It causes our heart what? Become desensitized to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Where we used to have our hearts tender and God could come in and we would hear him. Then that unbelief begins to make our hearts hard. And it comes from sin. Sin will harden our heart. That's why we as our believers, we should stay away from sin. Andrew said this, if you sin, you know, the devil what? Come eat your lunch and pop the bag. I mean, you know. It is into the heart that God sends the Spirit of his Son. And in the heart that Christ himself takes up his abode. So Christ lives in our heart. So remember I taught you before, our heart is what? Our heart is in our spirit man is part of our heart, our spirit heart. Then we have part of our heart in our soul.
Yes.
So Christ's abode is in our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit part of our heart. So the spirit part of our heart is perfect. Once you get born again, it's perfect. But our soul heart needs some work.
Yes, it does.
It needs some work. I came across this scripture. I'm going to skip some stuff and go down this scripture right now. It's right. I can bring it in. Matthew 13:33. Let's go there. I'm going to have to wrap this up because I'm not going to do everything else I got here. But Matthew 13:33, let's read that. The Lord gave that to me this morning. Another parable he spoke to them, and it was this. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took, hid in three bags of meal, till it was all leaven. Most of the Bible, when the Bible talks about leaven, it's usually in an evil way. But here, he's talking about that he's comparing the kingdom of heaven as the leaven. What does leaven do when you put it in the meal? When you put leaven in something, if you let it stay there, it leavens the whole thing. That leaven spreads.
Makes it rise.
It spreads. Evil's like that. When you allow evil in or sin in, if you don't deal with it, it what? It spreads. Well, in this case, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven being like leaven. Look at it this way. Your spirit man, the spirit part of your heart, it is perfect. You have everything in it you need. But what are we supposed to do with that spirit man that's perfect? It's like the leaven that's in us. The kingdom of God is in us, and it's like leaven. That we're supposed to what? Let it spread to the rest of us. And to what? So the whole lump is leaven. So the whole lump is in the kingdom of God. So the whole lump belongs to Jesus. So the whole lump is walking in every promise. And everything that God called us to walk in.
Hallelujah.
God did the first part.
He did his part.
Now we got to do our part. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get that word of God. Stay in that word of God. Allow that word of God what? To transform your heart. It's renewing your mind, but it's transforming your heart. All we think about sometimes about renewing our mind, but when your mind's renewed, it's not renewed until the heart is transformed. And then what? The mind and the heart can work together.
Hallelujah.
To do the will of God. To walk in the supernatural power of God.
Yes.
Me receiving my healing was a supernatural thing.
Yes.
But it took my heart to cooperate to get it done.
Yes,
it
did.
Here, Clem. You like clowns? No, I don't.
So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The Bible tells us we're a new creation. Let's end this. Let's go back to Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover the sight to the blind, and to deliver to them that are bruised. So Jesus is the heart healer. I want you to know something. Already, just like you already have healing in your body, in you, in your spirit, for your body, because by his stripes we're healed. Did you not know already on the inside of you, you have healing for your heart?
Yeah.
You have to go outside. There's a whole lot of deliverance ministries. They out there. They do some good.
Yes.
And there's a whole lot of other ministries out there that deal with the people, you know, help them get a heart healed. But if you're a believer, you have already on the inside of you what you need to get your heart healed.
Thank you, Father.
It's already there.
He's there.
He's the heart healer. And we will open up our hearts and let him show us what's in our hearts. He will heal our hearts just like he healed mine.
Thank you, Jesus.
I wanted my heart healed, and he healed my heart. He healed my heart so I can receive his love. He healed my heart so I can receive his healing. And that's what he wants to do for all of us. So stop closing off your heart. Stop shutting the door in your heart. Stop tucking stuff away. Not old folks used to do. They would sweep stuff and sweep. And some folks would pull the rug up, sweep stuff on the rug. Instead of sweeping it out the door, sweep it on the rug. And sweeping on the rug is not getting rid of it. Uh-huh. It's just out of sight.
That's right.
Nobody can't see it if it's smooth. But it's under that rug still. And some of us, our hearts are like that way. We just build that stuff, build up. Let's just build up. Tuck it in our heart. Instead of opening our hearts up and allowing God to heal that heart, to purify that heart, clean that stuff and get it out of our hearts. God wants to get rid of the bitterness and the unforgiveness and the stubbornness of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Be transformed.
Yes.
God wants to get rid of all of that. And we should allow him to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart.
Yes.
Allow him to show you what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And once he shows you what's there, you know, repent. The Holy Spirit, my heart is not like it should be.
Yes.
Would you cleanse my heart? Will you purify my heart? Will you make my heart the way it should be toward this or that or whatever?
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
And he will do it. He will do it.
Hallelujah.
He will do it. He did it for me and he's still doing it. He'll do it for you.
Yeah.
He showed me unforgiveness in my heart. And I had to forgive. He showed me where I was maybe bitter against somebody. And he took that away. He showed me where I was lacking in trusting him all the way. And I was able to trust after my heart was healed. He is so good. He is so good.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
He is such an awesome God. And he cares about each one of us.
Yes.
He loves each one of us. There is nothing in our hearts that God doesn't know about. He searches our heart. He tests our heart. He wants everything in our heart to be brought what? Into submission to him.
Yes.
To align with the will of God. Into his truth and promises.
Yeah.
So that we can what? We can walk as true sons and daughters of the Most High God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's what God wants for us. That's what he wants for us. Hey, rest of that verse says, we're supposed to renew our minds and be transformed, or made, have a metamorphosis done by renewing of our mind. We can do what? We can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What's that saying? It says, so we can walk in sons and daughters, and people can see what? The goodness of God.
Yes.
They can see what the will of God is.
Yes.
They can see God through the way we are walking, the way we are living. They can see the power of God. They can see the love of God, because what? It's poured out in our hearts, and then we're supposed to let it pour out to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's time to stop this thing.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.